Morning. Well, we're continuing on in the Gospel of John this morning. Damon, I agree completely. It's amazing how many times you can read something and then when you read it fresh, something else stands out to you. And I hope you've been having that experience with the Gospel of John as we've gone through John's telling of the story of Jesus this fall. Got questions? Through this winter, going to preach on topics that you pick. What are you interested in? What are some things that you've wondered about? You can go back to this bulletin board that's out here in the foyer behind the sound booth. There's a place for you to write some things down there. So you get to determine what the sermon will be on a particular week, depending on how many. If I get 500 of those, we're probably not going to do 500, but we'll try to do some. So fill those out, and we'll do that through this winter. If you are a person who this morning is struggling something and you want prayers, I hope you know by now that a couple of our elders and their wives will be in the conference room. You can meet with them after the sermon. They will pray with you. If you're a person who's interested in maybe becoming a disciple of Jesus and you want to talk to them about that, they'd be happy to meet with you about that as well. So I want to encourage you to make use of that if you'd like to at the end of the sermon. Let's go to God in prayer as we begin the lesson. Father, we each come with different things on our minds and on our hearts this morning. As we've heard your scripture read, as we've sung songs, as we've prayed, and now as we hear the preaching of your word, ask that you would open up your word to us, that you would speak through the preaching of your word this morning so our lives could be touched, so that we can be transformed to be more like your Son. So we ask the blessing of your preaching and hearing of your word. It's through your Son we pray. Amen. April the 4th, 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. Some of you remember that day well. You can think about those who were around him, who were a part of this movement, and all the things that this movement stood for, and you had to ask yourself, what now? What happens now? Does the movement continue now that he's gone? Those same ideas have to be on the minds of the disciples. Jesus is talking about going away. He's gathered them together for this last meal, and he's told them, I'm only going to be with you a little longer. Imagine how distraught they must have been. But he tells them, you're going to survive after I'm gone. In fact, you're going to do more than survive. You're going to thrive. You've probably heard it said that our brains are not really used as much as we could use them, and you might say, and some of us use them less than others, that may be true, but that we have much greater potential in our brains, but we just are not able to tap into them. Some claim that if we could, we would be limitless. That was the theme of a movie by that same title in 2011, Limitless. There was this idea that you could take a pill and could do so much more. Here's a guy who's trying to finish a novel, but he can't finish a novel in his life. He just looks like this loser, can't even keep his apartment clean, and somebody gives him this pill, and all of a sudden he cleans up his apartment, and in one day he finishes the novel, and he's doing all of these things that he could never do before. His life is now limitless. And John is making something of a claim like that in his gospel. Jesus is saying, you're not just going to survive when I'm gone, you are going to thrive. The word he uses for this throughout the Gospel of John, the word for thrive is life. You will have life and have it to the full. The Greek word for life is zoe. Zoe. I was at Reggae mentoring this week, and a child started speaking to me. All these kids are speaking to me in the classroom, the boy I mentor. And they're always asking me, what's my name? What's my name? And this one little girl tells me her name is Zoe. And I said, Zoe? Oh, and I'm thinking about the Gospel of John, preaching through the Gospel of John this week, and life, and you'll have life to the full. So I said, do you know what Zoe means? Zoe means life. And you know what she said? She said, oh. She wasn't quite so excited about that. But it's a different word than, you know, the Greeks had another word for life, bios, from where we get the word biology, which talks about the chemical makeup of the body and how the body operates and all that. But zoe is a different kind of word. Zoe is a just kind of this robust word for life to the full. It's thriving. For so many of us, our faith is like fire insurance. You know, we're going to have to struggle through life, but make sure when we get to the end, we're not going to go to hell. We're going to do whatever we have to do to make sure we don't go to hell when we die. And so our faith is really all based upon what happens when we die. So yeah, I'm giving up all this good stuff in this life, but when I get to heaven, things are going to be good. I would like to have fun, but I'm a Christian, you know, and we Christians, we don't do that. I mean, that's sort of the attitude sometimes that we have as Christians, is like we're pushing all this off to when we die because we're just going to suffer and endure somehow in this life. And John is telling us, Jesus is telling us through the Gospel of John, you're not just here to survive, you are here to thrive and to experience the good things of God. Thrive so that you have the peace in the midst of the storms, joy in the midst of heartache, love in the midst of a loveless world. And so Jesus is telling him as he's preparing to leave, you are going to thrive. How? How will you thrive? Jesus says you're going to thrive because you already know the way to thrive. Listen to this from chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Years ago, I went fishing with my father and my son. My son was about 8 years old. We were fishing in the mountains of California, walking a stream, fishing it. And I'm keeping my 8-year-old son close to me, trying to keep an eye on my dad, concerned about what's going to happen with him. Next thing I know, I look up and he's not anywhere to be found. I go back downstream a little bit, look for him, he's not there. I go upstream a little bit, he's not there. I'm panicking now. He's fallen, he's hit his head, he's had a heart attack. I don't know what's happened to him. So in my panic, I say to my son, you sit on that rock right there, don't move, I'll be right back. And I run downstream as fast as I can back to the car. And it seemed like it was an hour, but it was probably about 5 minutes. I run back to the car, and there's my dad in the car taking a nap. So now I've been so distraught about my father, and then I think about my 8-year-old son sitting on the rock back out there in the woods by himself. So then I run back there, and there he is. He's everything's okay. But I think about those 10 minutes that this 8-year-old boy is out in the woods and his father has run away. What must have gone through his mind? And you might think then something about what the disciples have experienced here. Nervous. I'm leaving you, Jesus says, and I'm going to prepare a place, but don't worry, I'm coming back to get you to take you to that place. And so they can kind of be calm now because he's coming back to get us to take us to that place. And then he says, you know the place. And Thomas is pointing out the obvious, how can we know the way to that place because we don't even really know where you're going. And then Jesus says, I am the way. What if the way and the place are one and the same? What if the way and the place are one and the same? Because the place that he's going to take them to is to the Father. The Father provides peace. The Father provides security. But what if in some way they're already with the Father? Notice what he says. He'd continue on in chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? The Father is in Jesus, and Jesus is in the Father. They are in one another. So Jesus is the way to the Father. And so if you are in Jesus, you are with the Father already, in the presence of the Father. And so if you stay plugged into Jesus, you're going to stay plugged into the Father. And so to illustrate that, in chapter 15, in the scripture that was read for us, He says vine and branches, right? If the branch is plugged into the vine, it's going to be nourished by the vine and everything's going to go well for it. It's when it's not plugged into the vine that the branch begins to have trouble. If you've ever gardened, you get that. Gardeners in here? Remember one day I was out hoeing around my okra, hoeing out there trying to get rid of those things that Adam's curse brought us, getting rid of those things out there, and I knocked one of the little branches, just broke it, and it just fell and dangled. I didn't come back to it to deal with it, and so the next day when I get out in the garden, you can imagine what it looked like, right? As dead as an armadillo on the highway. And so finally I had to take that thing off. But that's what happens when the branch gets disconnected. It dies. Jesus says, you need to stay connected to me. And when you stay connected to me, you stay connected to the Father. And so John is telling us, Jesus is the limitless pill. You're not going to get to the Father later. You're getting to the Father now so that you can thrive now. The way to peace now, the way to security now, the way to joy now is staying connected to the Father through the Son. That's why Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full so that you will thrive now. How is it you will thrive? Well, it's because you have this power now in me and you will always have this power. Continue on, chapter 14, notice what he says. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I'm not going to abandon you. You're going to have this power of the Spirit, my Spirit, with you always. So I'm not leaving you as orphans. You are going to have this power, this presence in you, so that you are going to not be able to survive. You're going to thrive. You're going to do even greater things after I'm gone than you do now. Listen to him in chapter 14, verse 12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. You're not just going to survive. You're going to thrive. Somebody said, well, that's nice for him to say to the disciples then, but is that really applicable to us? Well, listen to the Apostle Paul when he writes his letters. In Galatians, he says, I have been crucified Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He says that's true about himself. And then he goes on to write to the folks in the Galatian churches. He says, because you are sons of God, God has poured His Spirit into your hearts. So the promise that Jesus makes to the disciples in the Gospel of John is not just for them, but carries on to us. You will not just survive, you will thrive because you have the power of my Spirit in you. You will thrive because you're connected to the vine. You might have heard recently that Special Forces units from the United States went into the Middle East and rescued about 70 people who were chained up. ISIS was apparently going to execute these folks. Can you imagine being in a building chained up and you've been abused in whatever way, starved or something, and the next thing you know, somebody kicks down the door and in comes someone looking like this. And this person says, well, maybe there's a whole group of them, they say to you, we're here from the United States and we've come to rescue you. Are you a little excited? I think you're probably a little excited, right? And one of them grabs you and says, come on, stick with me. And so you start running outside and there's bullets flying everywhere and you're running and you're holding on to him and there's bullets flying and you're running and you're holding on to him and he's going here and he's going there. And then the thought occurs to you, you know what? I think I could do better by myself. So when he goes over here with the gun and everything he's doing, I think I'll just go over here and do my own thing. How many of you are going to reason that way? Okay, so you're all with me, right? I'm going to stick with the guy who came to save me. I'm going to stick with the group of guys who came to save me because they're going to get me through this. Jesus is saying to his disciples, stick with me. The vine and the branches, stick with me. I will see you through all this to make sure that you not only survive, but that you thrive throughout this life. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And so this is how Jesus says you ought to do it in John chapters 14 and 15. Two things Jesus says to us, two things you need to do to help you not only survive, but to thrive. The first one is, Jesus says, do what I tell you to do. Chapter 14, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Now, I'm calling on you to do some things. Some of those things are going to be challenging things, but don't worry. I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm giving you a power. I'm giving you my Spirit to help you do these things. Do what I tell you to do. So when the special forces guy says, do this, you say, I'm going to do that. You don't say, hey, I know you want me to go through that door and stick with you and go through that door, but you know, I'm not sure we need to do that. Maybe we should stay here. Maybe it's safer here with the chains on the wall. Well, the special forces guy takes you outside and he's going to go around this corner. You say, no, I think we should go around this corner over here. The special forces guy says, hey, I think we need to get in this helicopter. You say, I'm not so sure about that helicopter. That helicopter may be dangerous. Can I phone a friend, something else, to find out if there's a better way? You're going to stick with the guy, right? You're going to stick with the guy. When Jesus says, do what I tell you to do, that means you're going to go where He tells you to go because you trust that He knows better than you do, which means you love Him enough to trust Him that He knows better than you. And so Jesus says, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. You see, the Father's in me, and I'm in the Father, so the words that you're obeying when you're obeying me come from the Father. So if you want to not just survive, but you want to thrive, first thing you do is do what I tell you to do. Whether you understand it or not, do what I tell you to do, because I'm looking out for your best interest so that you will not just survive, but so that you will thrive. Do what I tell you to do. I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm going to give you my Spirit, so that you will have a peace that passes all understanding, so that you'll have strength through the tough times, so that you'll have joy unspeakable. If you go your own way, all you're doing is running from the power that's going to help you to thrive in this life. The Apostle Paul says it this way, keep in step with the Spirit. Spirit's going over here. Hey, how about this? I'll go over here, and things are going to go well for me in my life. And so if the Spirit takes me here, I'm going to go here. If the Spirit takes me there, I'm going to go there. I'm going to keep in step with the Spirit. So number one thing Jesus says, if you want to not just survive, but you want to thrive, do what I tell you. The second thing is, Jesus says, stick with my team. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. We've not been rescued alone. We've been rescued together. And if you're going to thrive, you need other people to thrive, don't you? This morning after our Bible class, Lori Cunha said, I just appreciate your teaching. And I thought, well, that's so nice. I told her, it's nice. Those are encouraging words, and I've gotten them from a lot of you in a lot of different places. They seem like small things, don't they? But you've gotten those words, haven't you? We need those kinds of things to be given to us by one another. And the Spirit of God is at work in His people. And if you disconnect yourself from the people of God, one of the things you're doing is disconnecting yourself from the very power that God has provided through His Spirit. And He's given you that power to help them as well. It's not that they're just helping you. You are helping them as well. Each one of us has a gift. God has gifted each one of us to help the others out. And when God says go this way, and you go this way, and you disconnect yourself from the family of God, you're not able to help those folks any longer. And so the Lord says, if you want to not just survive, but you want to thrive, do two things. One, do what I tell you. Number two, stick together. Stick with my team. Love my team. Look out for my team. You'll make it through together, and you'll thrive together. Now, does that mean there's not going to be bullets flying? Well, you know that's not true. Some of you are having those bullets fly right now, and some of them are fast and furious, a lot more for you right now, aren't they? But it means that you're going to make it through those bullets. And you're not just going to survive, but you're going to thrive. The Apostle Paul said it this way, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Would you like that? It doesn't matter what the situation is. You have this secret. Contentedness. Doesn't matter how much the bullets are flying. I'm content. Jesus said, do what I tell you. Stick with my team. So I ask you this morning, do you have that kind of peace that passes understanding? Do you have this joy unspeakable in your life, no matter what the circumstances are in your life? Are you thriving? Or it may be that the fruit on your vine is looking a little like this, kind of dying on the vine. And you're struggling. You feel like the circumstances are really determining everything for you in your life. So just ask yourself the question, am I sticking with Jesus? Am I doing what He says? And am I sticking with Jesus' people? Jesus' people isn't what just happens here on Sunday morning. We all know that, right? Church is about relationships that happen all through the week. Am I doing what the Lord says? And am I sticking with the Lord's team? Or am I going my own way? The fruit of your life, I think, will probably tell you. Let's stand and sing.